And now, while cholesterol may give you a bit of pause, something else that may cause you some angst, Hawaii's energy prices. Now, chafing over them isn't new, but what could affect the cost you may pay in future are some bills moving through the ledge that would make Hawaii's utility more responsive to the Public Utilities Commission. One bill would require the PUC to establish performance incentives tying utility revenues to the utility's achievement of them. Another bill creates criteria for the PUC's methodology to determine the rate that a public utility should pay a producer for non-fossil fuel generated electricity supplied to the public utility. To have a look at these and other energy bills on his list, Jeff Michelina, the executive director of Blue Planet Foundation, joins us now. Hello there.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Would it be true to say that we're really looking at how lawmakers may change the shape of how the PUC and the public utility relate to each other?
That's true. And this happens every year at the legislature, where the legislature takes a hard look at the toolbox that the public utilities has to regulate the utility, sometimes providing new tools, sometimes taking things away, but trying to set the framework for how we regulate our energy providers in Hawaii.
As you look at this year's list, what things might be truly doable, things that might be feasible, and others that are just more reactionary and emblematic of the emotional upset that a lot of people feel toward the utility?
Well, a couple that we're fairly bullish on. Number one is building on what happened last year, which was the game-changing 100% renewable energy mandate for Hawaii, the first in the nation to have a 100% renewable energy requirement. We want to just tweak that definition somewhat to make it crystal clear that when we talk about 100% renewable, we're really talking about what most people think, which is zero fossil fuel. So there's a measure to do that, and also to look at if we do use natural gas in Hawaii, that all of this has to comply with our zero fossil fuel mandate by 2045. So that's House Bill 2291 and Senate Bill 2820 that would do that. The second measure is something that you had mentioned, setting up the performance-based rate making for the utility. This is something that we've been very excited about for a while because we think as soon as we can align the utility's incentive, how the utility makes money, with our clean energy goals and customer satisfaction and making sure people can do rooftop solar, it'll be a much smoother path for achieving our clean energy goals, and we'll have less resistance from the utility.
Now, the consumer advocate says that statutory language is unnecessary, that, the PUC should be doing this anyway.
True, but it never hurts to have a nudge from elected lawmakers to make sure that we stay on track. And I think this is what it's intended to do, is reflect what the public wishes, what the public body, the legislature, wishes.
And what about the idea that there should be those incentive mechanisms that are directly tied to performance by the utility?
Exactly, and that's the intent of this measure, is to align those two. Currently we essentially reward the utility for building the system. They get a kind of a cost-plus contract. You build a power plant, some power lines, you get maybe 10% on top of that to recover from the customers. This would realign everything and say, regardless of what you build, are you providing efficient service? Do you have high customer satisfaction? Are we integrating renewable energy? If so, they might be able to make more money than the current system.
But in the last week, we've watched what's been happening with HECO sort of expanding coal and contracting solar. How feasible then would it be to say that this is what they would have to perform to, when clearly they seem to be moving in a different direction?
Well, I think that underscores the need for this measure. Is you see the utility reacting in ways that I think surprises most people in this new era of getting to a low cost, low carbon future. Why are we saying no to projects that are among the cheapest renewable energy? 14-cent large scale solar projects, double the amount of solar on this island, while at the same time saying, look, we want to build a new fossil fuel power plant and we want to expand the amount of coal that we use. A measure like this would make it crystal clear that that's not a profitable way forward for the utility. It's going to be more profitable to build the renewable energy, integrate, provide customer satisfaction.
Along those lines, there has been some talk about time of use and changing one's rate based upon when you're using electricity. One of the measures that's going to be heard today would ask that the utilities that use the time of use feature have a rate structure that would include eligible customer generation for any kind of net electricity produced during those peak hours in terms of what would be then, you know, available back to the utility. Given where we kind of see the utility moving, is this something that might be, you know, a nice idea, but at the wrong time, that there's just not going to be meeting up well, or is it much more fuel for the fire?
This is a perfect time for this sort of measure. And this reflects just the changing grid that we have, utility grid. For the past 125 years, you know, it's pretty much a commodity that the utility provides. Things are changing now. People are generating their own power at home. We have over 70,000 rooftops with solar on them. The challenge is the solar comes in the middle of the day, and everyone comes home from work and turns things on, and the peak comes at night. So how do we better align that demand and that supply? And that's what the time of use rates would do. And to compensate folks differently for that power. You know, we recognize now that electrons are worth a different amount, you know, depending on the time of day, and that's what this would do.
Yeah, people who like to eat dinner and do laundry after dinner.
Yeah. Right, and that's probably going to cost a little bit more. But there's plenty of solutions out there, everything from, you know, facing the panels more west to battery storage. And so this is just a policy. The Public Utilities Commission is already looking at this, but again, really nudging them and providing them more tools to go quicker down that path to have time of use rates.
And before you go away, I want to talk about another bill that's going to be heard today. This one says that its purpose is to restrict solar energy facilities in residential housing areas in agricultural districts to have a capacity of no more than 25 kilowatts. That caused a great deal of a kerfuffle when it came out, saying, well, you know, that's an awfully small amount, and if you're starting to subdivide, you know, a few houses might do that. The next measure that came out, the update to it, removed the no more than 25 kilowatt capacity. So does that mean that it's a good idea?
Again, this is going through the conversation that the legislature has. I mean, we're fortunate to have this democratic, you know, body that gets to deliberate these things. As we discussed, some of it's theater and grandstanding, some of it's our legitimate, you know, it's all a legitimate process to get to the policy framework that we want. You know, this measure came out of some concerned Hawaii Island residents who rightfully, you know, were concerned about the amount of solar that was going up around their agricultural subdivision. So, you know, some bills were introduced, conversation's been had, that's going through the process. We think it's a bit overreaching to really restrict down to a small 25 kilowatts. As you say, that's, you know, enough for maybe half a dozen homes. But again, going through the process, and we'll see where it ends up. We hope that we have a rational, overarching, you know, policy that enables us to build solar in Hawaii, but also respects the concerns of the residents, make sure we do it in the right place.
Given the fact that we've watched oil plummet and people buying big cars and having sort of I guess things are all right, does that make it more difficult to push bills through like the ones that we're talking about this morning?
You know, we haven't seen that yet. We understand that that's happening on the mainland and elsewhere, and we do understand there's an uptick in people buying big cars. We are pretty myopic and don't always think long-term about these things. But I think the overall sentiment in Hawaii has changed. I think we understand that we're all on this course to a zero fossil fuel future, and we haven't seen a response from lawmakers that this is no longer important. Price goes down, the price is going to come up again.
A good thing to remember. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Beth.
Good to see you. Jeff Michelina is the executive director of Blue Planet Foundation. A list of the bills the organization has targeted and that we talked about this morning is on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.